That you all rise and join with me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Madam Clerk, if you call the roll, please.
Ms. Becker?
Here.
Ms. Crane?
Here.
Ms. Danner?
Here.
Mr. Dipdall? Mr. Keel?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Mr. Stone?
Here.
Mr. Wanamaker?
Present.
Mayor Patillo?
Here.
We have a quorum.
That brings us to our special order of business tonight for a special person. Call on our city manager, Ms. Kiefer.
And I would like to ask Craig Duncan to please come forward. It's like in 2 days of non-work days, you've enjoyed the sunshine that we've had. We should have gotten you some sunscreen, it looks like, for your retirement gift. Craig Duncan started with the CBJ in September 1st, 1982, as a CBJ treasurer, and he was promoted in January 1992 to the position of finance director. I thought it'd be helpful to put his years of service in slightly different terms. Craig worked for the city for 938,768,400 seconds, or 260,769 hours, or 10,865 days. Of those, 7,443 were served as CBJ finance director. He worked with 7 different supervisors as finance director, and he educated them both with numbers and his graphs. Craig has seen us through the financial good times and the rough times. He's been involved in creating close to $5 billion in CBJ budgets over the last 20 years. He's one of the few people who's gone through a CBJ core financial software replacement twice. Craig was always conservative with his projections, and that benefited us many times. I wish he had his crystal ball. I didn't find it as he was leaving the office. I don't know where he left it. Craig, thank you for your years of service to the CBJ, to the residents of the capital city. We wish you the very best in your retirement. And remember, as you start your full-time life on the island, measure twice, cut once.
Well, thank you very much. And you know, when you're in this situation, you no longer have any inhibitions to say whatever you want to say. But I've been in Juneau for 37 years, and almost 30 of those have worked for the city. And it's half my life I spent working for the city, and I think it's been really great. And during my tenure here, I have three kids, two daughters and a son, and four grandchildren, three boys and a girl. And that's my daughter, Suzanne, and Sloan next to her, and my granddaughter, Aubrey. And over here in the corner is my wife, and of course, many, many Mondays and Wednesdays when I was at meetings, and which all of you do all the time. But I do want to say thank you, and that also to say that over the years, the city, when I started, was vastly different than it is now. I mean, the staff are much more capable. The city is much more responsive. It does a whole lot more than it used to do. And I think overall the staff and the city just do a fabulous job. And I wanted to give some special thanks to my supervisors, to Kim and to Rod and to Bruce, who I've really enjoyed working with over the last years. So thank you very much.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Alan,
wish you
congratulations.
Good luck. This glow is from 50 miles of ocean running.
And Millie, thank you for sharing him with us.
Yeah.
That brings us next on our agenda for to approval of minutes. We have first before us the minutes of the April 18th, 2012 special meeting 2012-10. Are there any additions or corrections? Hearing none, is there objection to their adoption? Hearing none, so ordered. We have next before us the minutes of the April 23rd, 2012 regular meeting 2012-11. Are there any additions or corrections? Hearing none, is there objection to their adoption? Hearing none, so ordered. We have next before us the minutes of the May 14th, 2012 regular meeting 2012-13. Are there any additions or corrections? Hearing none, is there objection to their adoption? Hearing none, so ordered. And finally, we have before us the minutes of the May 21st special meeting 2012-14. Are there any additions or corrections? Hearing none, is there objection to their adoption? Hearing none, so ordered. And Mr. Dibdahl, we have you online, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Thank you. Madam Manager, any agenda changes?
Yes, please. I'd like to remove item B from the executive session, the union negotiations update on the very back page of your agenda.
So we will delete item B of the executive session. With that, we move to public participation on non-agenda items. Any member of the public may address us on an issue not otherwise appearing on the agenda, and that testimony has only one limitation tonight, and that is that no individual may speak for more than 5 minutes. I see Ms. Lorraine Murray. Ms. Murray, if you'd come forward here.
Hello. My name is Lorraine Murray, and I'm here to speak about the growing use of explosive fireworks in our neighborhoods. I wrote something, and hopefully I'll have some questions that might help me speak to this issue. I live in Minden Haven, and over the last few years, I've been trying to deal with these explosive fireworks as best I can, but the use of them is growing. And now I have a neighbor that sets these explosive fireworks off right next to my home. The shock waves from these explosive fireworks was so strong that I could feel my home vibrate. The noise was very stressful to me, but it was terrifying to my pets, even though I sedate them. The explosives next to my home went on for over an hour. This was on this past New Year's. Over the years, they've been sort of off in the distance, but as each year goes, you know, on, more and more people are setting them off. So now I have a new neighbor that I got this past fall that set explosive off on the New Year's. I went over to my new neighbors to talk to them about what they were doing, about how it was affecting me, my family, and my pets. When I walked over, I was shocked to see them stuffing explosives down a pipe. They were also drinking alcohol. They had friends over, and there were two small children present. The children were about this high, and they were running around. This was on New Year's. These people were drunk, and they were setting off explosive fireworks next to my home. All they said to me was that what they were doing was legal, and that other people were doing it too, and they pointed down the street. And down the street, sure enough, maybe 10 homes from mine, you could see fireworks going above the trees. All they said to me was that what they were doing was legal and that other people were doing it too. They could not have cared any less about the impact that they were having on me, my family, or my pets. Please, we require a permit for open burning. And I believe at the very minimum, we should be requiring a permit for anyone to set off these dangerous, explosive fireworks. I can't see you. There should be very careful consideration given before any explosive firework permit is ever issued. Things like the density of our neighborhoods, whether there are objections from people in the neighborhood. We need to allow and give voice to people in our neighborhoods. People should be able to object to explosive fireworks being set off next to their home by drunken neighbors, or even people that aren't drunk. These explosive fireworks are just too loud and dangerous to just allow anyone to set them off as they please and when they please, especially knowing that most people will be setting them off under the influence of alcohol during the 4th of July or at New Year's. I think we all have the right to feel safe and be safe in our homes and in our neighborhoods. I think we should all know when and where explosive fireworks are going to be set off. We should all know where and when it is safe to walk our pets without explosives going off at random. During the 4th of July, this can go on for days. It has. It's gone on for 4 to 5 days. During any time, during the morning, during the afternoon, in the evening. It's not safe to walk around these explosive fireworks. People, they don't have control over them. The fireworks go any which way they please. In fact, my mother was actually hit by one, not in Juneau, but while she was vacationing in Florida, sitting on a balcony. She got hit on the right side by an explosive, rocket, a firework. Many people get injured with these explosive fireworks. I would.
Ms. Barry, if you could just do a quick summary.
There's no place for me to go or in Juneau. I can't just drive somewhere and take my family for a day or two or three. And I would also like to say and stress that there are hundreds of people in Juneau. I speak for them as well. And this is evident in talking to JPD and the number of complaints that they get. When I did complain about my neighbors that were setting the fireworks off next to my home, they said they wouldn't respond to a complaint unless the firework was directed right at me, that it was legal. They asked me what my age was. And it's not a noise-sensitive issue. I have people that use chainsaws all day near my home. It doesn't bother me, and it doesn't bother my pets. It's the impulse explosive firework, and I have to sedate my pets.
Let me ask if there are any questions to Ms. Murray. Ms. Murray, at this part of the meeting, we wouldn't take any action. It will occur, if at all, at the end of the meeting under assembly comments and concerns.
Okay, and I do realize that. I'd just also like to quickly say that I know that
you're over your time, okay. And I just need to do that consistently, yes, with everybody.
I have a handout about how another community handles it.
It there to Mr. Steele.
Okay.
Sure, every member gets it.
I'll be in touch, I guess. Thank you very much for your time. Thank you.
We now move to the consent agenda. Any member of the public may ask that an item other than an ordinance for introduction be withdrawn so that public testimony may be taken on that item. Is there any member of the public who wishes to have an item removed from the consent agenda? Seeing none, we're ready for assembly action. Mr. Stone.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would move the consent agenda and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. That brings us next to ordinances for public hearing. We begin with ordinance 2011-11-AK. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance returning $20,642 to the sales tax fund. Funding source is the Juno Bridge Repair Capital Improvement Project.
Madam Manager.
This CIP was partially funded with FY06 street sales tax monies. After these funds were expended, CBJ received $20,642 from the state for this project. The project is complete, and the money received from the state can be used to reimburse the sales tax fund. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Is there any member of the public who wishes to testify on ordinance 2011-11-AK? Seeing none, public participation is closed. We're ready for assembly action. Ms. Danner.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would move ordinance 2011-11-AK and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. That brings us next to unfinished business. We have first before us ordinance 2012-20-B. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance appropriating funds from the Treasury for fiscal year 2013 and city and borough operations.
Madam Manager.
This ordinance, as amended by the Assembly Finance Committee, would appropriate $316,853,900 for the city and borough's FY13 operating budget, excluding the school district, but including debt service and additional funding for the high school auditorium manager. The Assembly Finance Committee approved a motion at its May 23, 2012 meeting to forward the proposed operating budgets amended by the committee to the Assembly for action tonight. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Is there any member of the public who wishes to testify on ordinance 2012-20 version B? Seeing none, public participation is closed. We're ready for assembly action. Ms. Crane.
I move adoption of ordinance 2012-20B and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. We have next before us ordinance 2012-22C. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance establishing the rate of levy for property taxes for calendar year 2012 for the budget for fiscal year 2013.
Madam Manager.
This ordinance establishes an operating mill rate of 9.26 and a debt service mill rate of 1.29 for a total levy of 10.55. This rate is the same total operating and debt service mill rates as levied in 2011. The mill levies presented in this ordinance support the manager's FY13 proposed budget as amended by the Assembly Finance Committee. The Assembly Finance Committee approved a motion on May 23, 2012 to move these proposed mill rates to the Assembly for action. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Is there any member of the public who wishes to testify on ordinance 2012-22C? Seeing none, public participation is closed. We're ready for assembly action. Ms. Green.
I move adoption of ordinance 2012-22C and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. We have next before us ordinance 2011-11-AG. Madam Clerk.
A resolution adopting the City and Borough Capital Improvement Program for fiscal years 2013 through 2018 and establishing the capital improvement.
Madam Clerk, we're on ordinance 2011-11-AG.
Right. An ordinance transferring $21,877 to the Open Space Waterfront Land Acquisition Capital Improvement Project from FY11 marine passenger fees budgeted to the General Visitor Services and Roaded Service Area Funds.
Madam Manager.
For accounting purposes, the funds will first be refunded to the Marine Passenger Fee Fund and then transferred to the Open Space Waterfront Land Acquisition CIP. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Is there any member of the public who wishes to testify on ordinance 2011-11-AG? Seeing none, public participation is closed. We're ready for assembly action. Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move ordinance 2011-11-AG and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. We now have before us resolution 2610. Madam Clerk.
A resolution adopting the City and Borough Capital Improvement Program for fiscal years 2013 through 2018 and establishing the capital improvement project priorities for fiscal year 2013.
Madam Manager.
The capital improvement program and list of projects were reviewed and approved by the Public Works and Facilities Committee at its March 12, 2012 meeting. The Finance Committee recommended this action at its meeting on May 23, 2012. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
This resolution?
Excuse me, this resolution.
Is there any member of the public who wishes to testify on resolution 2610? Seeing none, public participation is closed. We're ready for assembly action. Mr. Wanamaker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move approval of Resolution 2610 and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. We now have before us new business Docks and Harbors Amendment to the P&D contract for Stater Harbor Moorage Improvement Project. Madam Manager.
This is an amendment to an existing professional services contract with P&D Engineerings for Stater Harbor Moorage Improvement Projects. P&D was selected through a RFP process in December 2007 to perform design services for Stater Harbor Master Plan Projects. The RFP included a provision to extend services to construction administration. The contract amended would extend services for construction administration for a time and materials fee not to exceed $397,015. Stater Harbor Moorage Improvements Projects include deferred maintenance repairs to the existing moorage facility, removes DeHart's marina, and installs new moorage capacity to Stater Harbor. Funding for this work is provided by a DO&T Municipal Harbor Grant and matching funds from CBJ sales tax proceeds. This contract amendment was reviewed by the Docks and Harbors Board and approved at its May 31st, 2012 meeting.
Is there any member of the public who wishes to comment on this contract amendment? Seeing none, we're ready for assembly action. Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move the approval of the amendment of $397,015 to the P&D contract for Stater Harbor Moorage Improvement Project and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there, there's a question. Mr. Keel?
Thank you, comment? Mr. Mayor. As a question, a little more information. Is this $397,000 additional to the contract, to the original scope of the project, or was this sort of an additive alternative? I'm unclear as to whether this is more money or the same money.
Mr. Yucatel, would you be willing to come forward?
Yes, Mr. Keel, it's an additive item of the original contract. So after we got the design done, there's a task order to oversee the contract management and inspection. So we're just, it's an option to, for the next phase of the contract, which has been awarded about a month ago to Pacific Pilot and Marine.
Mr. Keel.
So then for, just to proceed down that same line of questioning, is this part of the original scope of the project? Was this part of our original cost estimates for the total project?
Mr. Keel, are you referring to cost estimates with respect to the contract with P&D or the overall?
The overall project.
It was envisioned that we would option this aspect of our contract with P&D for this service. So it's not a, you know, 2 years ago when we started the original contract, we always envisioned this option coming to fruition. So it is all wound into the $8.3 million for construction, plus all the overhead involved with the design and now the construction inspection services.
Mr. Keel.
And just, I think I followed that. It sounds like what we're looking at here is an anticipated service, and we're procuring it by contract amendment. This isn't the first cost overrun. Am I understanding that
It's not a cost overrun. It is just part of from design to construction to the contract oversight task order. So it was always envisioned that we would exercise this option.
Okay. Thank you,
Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Dibdol.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, I want to follow up on Mr. Keel's question because I asked the same question. When do we ever start a new bidded contract for these services? They just become multiple add-ons.
Mr. Yucatel.
Mr. Mayor, the way I would answer Mr. Dibdol's question is we have a design portion. So when we select the RFP process, we're looking for the life of the construction project. So there's a design aspect, there is an award of the contract to, you know, to a contractor, and then there's a contractual oversight task order that allows us to have a full-time inspector on site and to evaluate all the submittals that are required to fulfill the responsibility to get this constructed in a professional manner. And the task order, the original contract with P&D had, you know, design services and then an option for the construction management of the project. So it's not an add-on. It's not an over.
Follow-up question then?
Ride.
Mr. Dibdahl.
Yeah, follow-up question then. So by contract, they have the option and we don't have the option, or why isn't that service bid at all?
I suspect that we have the option of going out with another RFP for contractual services. We elected to roll that into the original design services, and I think that's standard throughout CBJ.
Yeah. My point is that it just seems as if these go on, and continuing amendments. And at some point, if you lump all those together, it would be a substantial contract for anyone else. So anyway, that was my only point. Thank you.
Further discussion? Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. That brings us next to staff reports. Madam Manager?
None, thank you.
Mr. Attorney?
None, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Then we move to assembly reports. And I'll start with the mayor's report. Simply, again, I believe you've heard the news coverage with respect to the Petersburg annexation petition and the action taken by the local boundary commission. I've asked that this topic be one that we do a more substantial briefing on at next Monday's meeting. We have scheduled both a committee of the whole and a special assembly meeting to deal with a bid award. We'll take advantage of that special meeting to go into this in a little more depth so that members are more fully aware of the issues that were raised and possibly discussing a strategy forward. With that, I turn to the report, and I begin with the committee of the whole.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As you alluded to, next Monday we will have a committee of the whole meeting. Topics are the proposed closure of Shattuck Way and if I remember correctly, the extension of the North Douglas Road. I'm looking at Madam Manager.
We've been changing things a little bit, so we're going to postpone the Shattuck Way to incorporate that with the Sea Alaska proposal when it comes forward, because they both will be addressing parking, so that will be something in the fall. We will, in its place, put the AJ Water Study to finalize that.
My favorite topic.
Yeah.
That's all I have, Mr. Mayor.
That brings us next to the Human Resources Committee, Ms. Danner.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Human Resources Committee met this evening just prior to this meeting. At that meeting, there were a number of appointments recommended for boards and commissions. And so the Human Resources Committee recommends appointment of Nancy Murphy to a seat on the ADA Committee for a term expiring August 31, 2015.
You've heard the recommendation of the committee. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Thank you. And the Human Resources Committee also recommends the appointment of three individuals, Marie Darling, Gary Gillette, and Donald Harris, for seats on the Historical Resources Advisory Committee for terms expiring June 30, 2015.
You've heard the recommendation of the committee. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Thank you. The Human Resources Committee also considered an opening for the Jensen Olson Arboretum Board, Advisory Board, and recommends the name of Barbara Murphy for a seat expiring January 31, 2015.
You've heard the recommendation of the committee. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Thank you. Next, we consider the Juno Commission on Sustainability. There are three open seats. We actually had only two applicants. For reappointment, we recommend Daryl Weatherall and Steve Benke for terms expiring June 30, 2015.
You've heard the recommendation of the committee. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Also, the Juno Local Emergency Preparedness Committee has an opening. It's for its seat number 7, the seat reserved for the American Red Cross, which expires December 31, 2013. For this seat, the Human Resources Committee recommends the Assembly submit nomination to Alaska State Emergency Response Commission the name of Kenny Gardner.
You've heard the recommendation of the committee. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
And one more board. The Utility Advisory Board has three seats available for reappointment. All three current applicants submitted their names, and so the committee recommends George Porter, Dick Behrens, and Jeff Larson for seats expiring May 31, 2015.
You've heard the recommendation of the committee. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Thank you very much. Also at this evening's HRC meeting, as you all know, we're approaching interview season for the Eagle Crest Board, the Airport Board, and Docks and Harbors Boards, and that meeting is scheduled for Wednesday, June 27th. We should all by now have received copies of the draft interview questions, and it's requested that you respond back to the clerk's office if you have any changes to recommend before this Friday. I also encourage members of the public to apply. The deadline for application is June 11th, and the clerk tells me that we currently have more opportunities for service than applicants. So please check the internet and submit your applications. And that's all I have, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. That brings us next to our Lands and Resources Committee. Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Lands did meet in a joint meeting with Public Works, and I believe that Mr. Wanamaker, you're going to make that report, I believe, when it comes time for the Public Works report. Other than that, if not, tell me now, and I'll do it.
Move on.
And the next Lands meeting will be June 11th. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
We move next to Finance. Ms. Crane.
Just a reminder that we will have a Finance Committee meeting this Wednesday where we will begin to take up discussion of the 1% projects.
And finally, we turn to our Public Works and Facilities Committee, Mr. Wanamaker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Public Works and Facilities Committee will meet next Monday. The agenda is still being developed and it's not set yet, but one item that may be on it is a request from neighbors in the Glacierwood, Parkwood, and Riverwood streets areas to consider making repair of their streets and sewers in that area a priority, and also the Sharon Street area. So that has been submitted to the city staff, and but they are putting together their suggested agenda for that meeting. Joint Land and Public Works and Facilities Committee meeting, we discussed the various sites that are available in the city for housing to help meet the city's housing needs, and the committee's requested additional information on a number of topic areas. It's fairly complex, so we will have another meeting to follow up on that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. That brings us to Assembly comments and questions. I'll begin with Mr. Wanamaker.
No comments tonight. Thank you.
Mr. Smith.
And Mr. Mayor.
Actually, let me go back. I should be asking the liaison reports, Mr. Wanamaker.
Yes, thank you. The school board will be meeting tomorrow night, and one of the topic items is an interesting report on positive behavior support services. But it's a lengthy agenda, and that's one of the most interesting topics on their thing. So If anybody's interested, please come.
Thank you, Mr. Smith.
Just brief, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just brief comment on Juneau Convention and Visitors Bureau. I've had substantial number of meetings with the board, calling itself CHUGS, which is the Centennial Hall Users Group. And what's come out of this new relationship, there's some constructive solutions being discussed about future management of the hall, and in particular, some of the deferred maintenance and improvements that are needed for the hall, which the Finance Committee and the Assembly are going to be receiving very shortly. And overall, it's very, very positive development. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Keel.
Nothing tonight, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Mr. Dibdahl.
Nothing, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Ms. Keel.
Nothing. Thank you.
Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Sustainability Commission is going to be looking at our CIP projects to see how we work at proficiency, efficiency, and conservation. And they are going to be discussing the question, what do we do? So they would know how to answer that question when asked. Their next meeting is June 6th, that's this Wednesday, at 5:30 in the Downtown Library Large Conference Room. Docks and Harbor, under new business, we took care of the question about the money for the Stater Harbor project. The six-person board member and Docks and Harbor members unanimously selected P&D engineers to do the design work for Aurora replacement also. Very popular company, it seems. The city attorney and the court director are drafting a letter to the U.S. attorney regarding the issues concerning the International Longshore and Warehouse Union. Docks and Harbor will present two projects for the 1% sales tax, and they will be doing that, I believe, at this next meeting. The projects are $7 million for Aurora Harbor rebuild and $2.3 million for Stater Harbor fallout facility. Governor Parnell did sign the bill that paid the Tideland property to CBJ. The movement for the DeHart patrons to the Stater Harbor is scheduled to be completed by May 2013, but they're starting to consider how they're going to do that. 16B, that conditional permit application is going to the Planning Commission on June 26th. And the anticipated completion of the new cruise ship docks probably will go from 215 to 216 because the people who are able to build the floats are not able to do it right away because they are building the bridge in Seattle, the floating bridge, 520 bridge. So that may get put off a bit. The Alaska Committee, pretty exciting. There's about two. KQOO is going to do a project on Alaska statehood pioneers in their own words. And that's going to be 10 public television programs. It will be statewide broadcast. And the Alaska Committee has been asked to join in that project, for which we will receive recognition on all the publications and all the filming and so forth. So that's kind of exciting, and we are going to vote on that Wednesday's meeting, but I'm pretty sure we'll all want to do that because to do this is just a very nice thing. So that's what the Alaska Committee is doing right now, and I think that is going to be a real exciting thing that we're going to be doing. So I think that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms.
Stanner. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Neither the Juneau International Airport nor LEPC have had a meeting since our last assembly meeting. Their next meeting, both organizations, is June 13th. The LEPC meets at noon at Bartlett Regional Hospital in room 204 A and B, and the Juneau International Airport Board will meet at 7 p.m. at the airport.
Mr. Stone.
I have no report this time, Mr. Mayor.
I now begin with assembly comments and concerns. Mr. Wanamaker.
No comments tonight. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Smith.
No comments. Thank you.
Mr. Keel.
Nothing tonight. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Dibdahl?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Ms. Crane?
Nothing, thank you.
Ms. Becker?
Nothing, thank you.
Ms. Danner?
I want to take a minute to just express concern for the fireworks issue that Ms. Murray brought forward to us today. I don't know what it is that we should do to go forward in terms of looking at our ordinances. The point about having to have a burning permit resonates with me. The fact that to handle explosives requires certain expertise resonates with me. And I'm interested to know how many complaints the Juneau Police Department actually does field and how many visits the emergency room actually happen. So I'm just curious to know more.
Let me ask in this regard, we've had the issue last year with regard to sales of fireworks, and I think I'd like to think that's been contained, but I'm in terms of legal sales. But it would be helpful, again, perhaps, to get both the chief of police and the chief of the fire department to perhaps give us their thoughts at some point. We're not going to be able to take any action, I think, that would govern July 4th, but this is a perennial issue for us, and perhaps they will have some thoughts on that subject.
I will follow up with that.
Great. Mr. Stone?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I could not let this evening go by without saying my thanks and gratitude for the professional service that Craig Duncan provided us. And I can tell you, as finance chair for many years, he was fantastic to work with, and his staff, all of them. And Mr. Bartholomew, I know you'll do a great job. And so I know the department's in good hands. And I just had to say thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Stone. We now have continuation of public participation on non-agenda items. Is there any member of the public who wishes to address the assembly? Pam, if you just come forward.
Mayor Botello and the members of the assembly, thank you for the opportunity to speak to you. My name is Sally Burnham. I am the owner of Custom Cuts in Auk Bay, also the landlord of three other Auk Bay businesses. I'm before you this evening for one of the friends of the Auk Bay committee, also as a business owner, a friend, a neighbor of the community. I have moved my business already once due to the road work becoming of Auk Bay, and feel strongly that the plans be rethought for that area. I am presenting you with 1,000 petition signatures collected by local businesses from the customers, neighbors, and suppliers from all over Juneau area. We are petitioning to protect and enhance the Auk Bay neighborhoods as a safe, walkable place to live, dine, shop, recreate, work, and transit. Auk Bay is a community. We are no longer the out the road people. It's only 2 miles from Safeway. We have an elementary school less than a block from a main highway, yet we have no crosswalks like other school zones like Floyd Dryden. We also have the general store, D. Hart's, not only as a locally owned business, but it is also a historical location of the community, supplying fishermen, students, neighbors, and passerbyers with the extra goods that they need on the way out the road. Many patrons cross the highway from the intersections at the intersection of D. Hart's from UAS, the bus stops, and the higher neighborhoods there, and there's no crosswalk. Such as a crosswalk on Riverside, which just says, I'm here, slow down, please. Not only safety, but just two of these slight changes would slow the speeds throughout the main part of the community of Auk Bay. turn lanes onto the back loop and in and out of the harbor, and also into the lab corner, where you're going to straighten the corner, do a turn lane right there, would work. A roundabout at the Fritz Cove would be much more sensible than the roundabout at D. Hart's because of the destruction of the land and the scenery and the land you're going to take from private people. Along with the petitions, I am also giving you the statutes for determining speed limits and zones. Please take notes that OCBE has 4 out of 5 of those procedures, the fifth one being enforcement, which would be the police. And yet you could put a speed camera in, just like you did a litter camera downtown, and it would just take 1 or 2 speed tickets in your mailbox, and you would slow down. It's only Juneau. You can drive Juneau in 30 minutes and be there. You don't have to race. And you can slow down and enjoy the scenery for less than 2 miles. You can get back onto the main thoroughfare to go to work downtown, back up to 55, and destroy hundreds of people's lives.
Are you planning to make a copy of a petition available to the state?
I could. I have an extra one.
The reason I mention that is that the highway is a state highway, not a city one, and it is the Department of Transportation Public Facilities ultimately that is.
I didn't know where to start, so I started here.
We'll be glad to accept the petition.
Okay.
If you'd like to bring it forward, that would be great.
This is important.
Mr. Dibdahl, each of us is being handed a copy of the petition.
Okay. We'll have yours. In my inbox. I'll see it when I get back.
Great. Let me ask if there are any other questions. Again, we'll take it upon ourselves to make sure that a copy of this is made available to the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities.
Thank you.
Is there any other member of the public who wishes to address the Assembly on a non-agenda item? Seeing none, we now turn to our last item on the agenda, which is an executive session for the purpose of discussing waterfront land negotiations. Let me first ask, Madam Manager, what areas of the waterfront we'll be discussing.
We'll be discussing the area by the bridge. So
in which
basically,
case,
the
there is no member of the body conflicted. Mr. Attorney, if you could advise us on the propriety of an executive session.
Yes, thank you. This is a classic use of the Open Meetings Act. Executive session provision to give direction to the manager in the negotiations. It's a two-sided negotiation, and the content of the meeting would be a matter the immediate knowledge of which would clearly have an adverse effect upon the finances of the public entity.
Mr. Wanamaker, turn to you for the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that the Assembly move into executive session for purposes of discussion of matters of which the immediate knowledge of which may have adverse financial impacts to the city.
Is there any member of the public who wishes to testify on the propriety of this executive session? Seeing none, public participation is closed. Is there objection to the motion? Hearing none, so ordered. Madam Manager, who all do you wish to have in the room?
I'd like to have Rory Watt and Heather Marlowe, please, as well as the three of us.
With that, folks, ask you to leave the room briefly, and we will reconvene in open session at the conclusion of the executive session. Recessed into executive session to give instruction with regard to waterfront property acquisition. Those instructions have been given. Let me ask if there's anyone who wishes to augment my comment. Hearing none, is there any further business to come before the body? Madam Manager?
No, thank you.
Mr. Attorney?
No, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Assembly members.
If I may,
Ms. Becker, yes.
Seeing that we are talking about land acquisition, I'm still curious about the other piece of property that is being discussed with Ms. Gallo. And I don't know if we're doing it tonight or whenever, but I definitely would like that to get on the agenda soon, if possible.
Ms. Kiefer?
We're not ready to bring it back to you because we're still going back and forth, but we will when we're ready.
There being no further business to come before us, we are adjourned.